You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Here we go. Here we go. Third hour of Wake Up Tucson. Ted's coming up in an hour with former city manager Mike Ortega. We'll see what... It's a lot of stuff going on with that city budget, so interesting what we can... Ted could possibly get an answer or two out of Michael. We'll see how it all goes. So remember, this Saturday we're doing our me and Austin Vanderhaden Goldwater Institute. We will be at the Northwest Republicans at the Gaslight Music Hall. 8:30 start. Get there a little early for your coffee and donuts and a little talk. And we're going to get going on the many... 31. Oh, 13. Thank you. He did it. I got dyslexic on him, I think. 13 ballot props. So, and then you will, Austin will give you a nice leave behind to take a nice little piece of collateral to take home so you can study even more. So, you got to let Anna know. It doesn't cost anything to get there, but you got to let Anna know you're coming at info@northwestrepublicans.com. Of course, it was the first full weekend of college football. The University of Arizona offense didn't look like it missed the beat. We just got to work on the defense thing a little bit, because when you let up, when you let the New Mexico folks score more points against you than they did against FCS Montana State the week before, it's just you got to play the game. You got to figure it out. So I'm not on the team's fine. They'll be fine. This guy Brennan seems like he's got a pretty good spirit, and he definitely has a little more energy than the dead fish. So it's good to me. You're dead to me, Jed. You're dead to me. When you brought in that Washington AD into the Foothills home with the Wildcat in the front yard,
I can
yard,
tell that really got you.
Well, he's an ingrate son of a you know what. That's what.
So. To me, it's just funny. He figured that he'd have Fifita and T-Mac with him, and then all of a sudden, you know, all of a sudden they said they're going to stay here, and he was like, whoops. Oh. He was like, something. What did he say?
What happened?
I was going to say, Fifita and McMillan said, how about no, is what I thought they were going to say, really, in the end. Now, so one of the questions you can give us some feedback. If you went to the football game, remember, I went to the press conference with Rene Abergenois from Benson, and she said that they were just poring over fan surveys about game experience, right? And they even were paying extra dough to bring up, she was really proud of the fact that the Phoenix Cardinals DJ came down to play Radiohead during breaks. Okay. So what I need you guys to let me know out there is, how was the game experience? Because now I can read a text message I got from a friend of ours who's a season ticket holder. Let's see what he said, because I do trust his brain on this. He's been a long-suffering Cat fan for years. Now, first and foremost, it was a 3-hour and 57-minute game.
Yes, it was.
So
every time... I think the person who had the most playing time is the guy that stands out there with the LED board telling you how long it's going to be for the media timeout.
Why do we need that guy out there? He's just better off not telling you how long it's going to be. He just pisses you off.
It's almost better not knowing, yeah. Because it does tend to anger the viewers.
So one of our friends, sorry I didn't notice a lot of differences. I'll spare you my snarky commentary of the elements, but the bottom line is, how do you fill so many gaps in play? 60 minutes of actual playing time plus a 15-minute halftime break squeezed into 240 minutes. There's a lot of downtime. So I think in the end, right, is what was different? Was it any different? Did it seem over-sponsored? I think that's one of the complaints.
Public addresses was still unintelligible, so I mean, no change there.
So they had Charlie Brown's teacher doing the public address.
Yeah, that's a pretty good analogy.
Welcome out.
It wasn't. It just sounded like it was cutting out. So I don't know.
That's the best.
That or my hearing's bad. One or the other.
That's the best.
Anyway, it's just, yeah, there. It's just timeout after timeout after time. And then to add to it, the officiating crew, you reviewed several calls.
Nice.
You know, that probably didn't, you know, some of which probably didn't need a review.
So that's what I'm getting to a point now with. So I have the YouTube TV, right?
Yeah.
And so I you have unlimited DVR capability, right? So I just DVR every college football game and soccer game
of course.
Right?
But you don't have to fast forward through so many timeouts.
Right. And football.
Or any.
Well, and in soccer, I have the guy who gets touched on the shoulder, but he flops like he looked like he got stabbed by a scimitar. I got to fast forward to that guy. Like flopping like a dead fish on the dock.
Yeah.
Right? These guys sometimes, which is a little embarrassing. But so for a football game, I now watch them late, right? I get in about the second half, start at the beginning, and when anything happens, fast forward.
Not a bad strategy.
Fast forward. You know. So I love the game day experience. I love being there. I love the feel of it.
Yeah.
But it's kind of the fact of that's what you – part of it is what's going on the field, and then part of it is – you know, kind of what's going on in the stadium, right? Mm-hmm. So I hope they figure it out. I hope when Oju Bougainvillea Roquefort says she's going to read all of the surveys and take them to heart, I hope she does it.
Yeah.
So I will tell you, Mary, I told you guys last week about Richardson's in Phoenix, the New Mexico restaurant that I went to.
You sent me some pictures. That looked fabulous.
Yeah, we went Saturday, okay. Right? So, their carne adobada is the greatest carne adobada in the Western United States, possibly the world, okay? So, I got that. I was very happy. My son got that as a breakfast thing with two over-easy eggs on top of the pork with hash brown potatoes and stuff. It was off the charts. Mrs. D got the chili rellenos, which were awesome.
Yeah.
And then my daughter got their prime rib sandwich, which I'd never seen before until that thing is a winner.
Wow.
Thick cuts of really tender prime rib on this kind of brioche kind of roll with cheese melted on top, right? And then a homemade beef broth to dip it in with some like fresh rosemary kind of thing in it. Off the charts.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Came with French fries or something like that. It was $20 for that. Okay. But I just had a burger the night before at State 48 in Norterra. That was $17.50. So for $2.50 extra, I could have gotten that at Richardson. So give them a shot. They're on 16th and Glendale area. Place is a total winner. So let's go to break. Let's get to this. I want to get to this crime story about the people in the Midtown area. And there's some great quotes about calling TPD and... we'll see if they show up or what. It was perfect timing when Joanne was going through the Border Resource Initiative that smell came on by Leonard Skinner, and that was like totally serendipitous, which was just chef's kiss. All right, you're on Wake Up Tucson. It's ZZ Top versus Leonard Skinner tonight on this morning. I'm going to get there. Let me slap myself. Southern Fried Tuesday. Wake up. So I had some friends at the U of A Communications School analyze the... whatever that weird voice is that Kamala Harris is using. And even though the poster on said foghorn leghorn, they said that my foghorn is really much more accurate than Kamala's. So I just want to let
still
everyone
superior.
Know
still superior. Good.
Thank you very much.
You still got it, Chris.
I say.
She was kind of a mix between foghorn leghorn and the Pepperidge Farm Remembers guy. It's kind of like it's kind of a weird
Pepperidge Farm. Remember us.
A weird arc to weird tangent to follow, but
you can't beat a split top hot dog roll. I'm just going to let everyone know that. So, Mary Murphy knows exactly what I'm talking about. She's a New England girl. All right, Reina Preciado over at KGUN9, this story called "Businesses in Midtown Push for Safer Streets." Hey, us too.
Safely say everyone in Tucson is pushing for safer streets. I think that's a fair, you know, statement, fair sentiment. Maybe 100 Acre Woods, they're not pushing for safer streets, but, you know, otherwise.
Pio Nuevo. You came up with that. We got to keep using it. Owners share frustrations on lack of response from TPD. Businesses on Speedway and Swan are fighting for safer streets following a Sunday, August 11 shooting that left four people injured. Now, Matt, the people that were injured, this is just a news discussion. Did they ever say they were perps that were shooting, or were they just innocent bystanders?
There really hasn't been a lot in the way of follow-up to that story, Chris.
Okay. That's what, when I saw that, I'm sitting, but I remember we had no arrests in the
none
in the whole thing.
None.
And again, I still want to know how many cops were on duty on the division, in the division that night at that time. Because if it's more than two, I would be in shock. So that's why maybe not. I'm sure it's so low. That's why Chadster's not saying we were unbelievably, we were unbelievably staffed that night, right? But if you're that one guy or girl in your 1997 Crown Vic, because they can't buy anything newer than that, you're like, oh my God, it didn't start. I'm sorry. Or I could get in there by myself, like Barney Fife, and roll in there into a gun battle with 20 people going on. It was only almost 200. Bullet shots.
Well, 180 something, 190. They're not sure. I mean, they think that
when it comes to shots fired in the violent city of Tucson, I'm always rounding up.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Dwight's Glass and Tint manager Daniel Calderon, another Hispanic suffering in the first Hispanic mayor's city. Hold on, I'll give myself a name. Said a TPD officer went to the shop recommending. This feels like the Ruben Gallego, what's the working group that Joanne said again? The steering committee on the border. We're going to do that now. It's going to help. David Hathaway, double thumbs up. David Calderon said a TPD officer went to the shop recommending he file to get a no trespass protection. A handsome young man from the Tucson Metro Chamber with a beautiful beard stopped by and said, put some lights on your aisle also, and that'll help the fentanyl people. Oh, I'm sorry. He described the no trespass protection as a way to keep trespassers out of the parking lot of business after hours. The owner of Dwight's filed the paperwork to get the assistance and was told to call directly to 911. I like that. Because he has a permit, you get to call directly to 911. Oh, you mean like people who don't have the permit? But we'll be fine. Here we go. He said he tried to make a call the first weekend after the shooting as the crowd started gathering outside. I guess he's next to the hookah lounge, Dwight. Okay. This wasn't the first time, he said, where they tried to prevent the crowds from growing into his parking lot. When asked after what happened, when he called TPD, he said, absolutely nothing. What's war good for? Absolutely nothing. He added this was the same response he saw in previous attempts. KGUN9 reached out to TPD after learning about the incident. He attempted to report at 3 a.m. on August 18th. According to TPD records, the call was cleared at 4:30 a.m. after the police found the cars he reported had left the parking lot. Okay. The call was reported as low priority because there was no weapons or other violations. All right, so check this out. TPD gets the call at 3 in the morning. They show up 90 minutes later. And guess what? The cars were gone already.
This is from the 200-round shootout, and they were... Or is this a different one?
This is August 11th. This is the 7 days after that. August 18th.
Oh, good Lord.
Because remember the Chadster and everyone, and the mayor always say, oh, we're going to focus our resources into these dangerous areas.
Yeah.
Well, after the guy filed for no trespass protection, and then he calls up at 3 in the morning, they show up 90 minutes later and go, hey, bro, what are you calling for? Nobody here.
He says something's brewing, like last week,
right.
Possibly.
Correct.
And 90 minutes later?
At Empire Tattoo's new location, Josh Tehran. Oh, sorry, let me get back to this real quick about the Midtown business. Sorry, they get there at 9:30. I scrolled down too fast. I apologize. Mr. Calderon, the manager, it's discouraging. We're doing our part and nothing's being handled. There are several vacant units around Dwight's Glass and Tint in the strip mall. One of those units used to be Empire Tattoo, that's now located on 4th Avenue south of Speedway. That's a nice neighborhood. Well, he's a tattoo parlor, so he had to go where the tattoo high business is. I left because there was a shooting every weekend at Swan and Speedway. Hold on.
Wow.
By the time I left, there had been at least 10 bodies picked up from that corner. Even if it wasn't on my property, every time I'd walk up, open up Facebook, there was another picture of my building. He moved through from the area in February and said his windows had been shot through 4 times in the entire time they've been there at Swan and Speedway.
Is crime down in Tucson, Chris?
According to Captain Foster and Rahina Romero, it is. Quote, it drove down business. The area just started getting worse and worse. He also told K-Gunai he also filed for no trespass protection. Matt, can I have the swordsman from The Princess Bride when it comes to no trespass protection from the city of Tucson? Here we go. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. I know it.
If I can find him. Hang on a second.
What would a certain friend of the show say about getting when the city says we're going to give you no trespass protection?
I got the wrong one.
Hold on.
I don't think so.
That's not bad.
Yeah, that's not bad.
It's a good spacer.
Where did it go? I don't know where it went.
When asked if anyone from TPD responded after his reports to 911, he said, quote, no, only when people get shot.
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
So, no trespass protection.
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Nothing better than Inigo Montoya over Sweet Home Alabama. I don't know if you know this. Rodney Glassman did a version of this called Sweet Home Arizona.
So I've heard.
When he talked about how John McCain's a bastard. Look, him and Carrie Lake have something in common. Who knew? Wake up. All right. It's what they call me down at the Tucson City Hall. Rough Boy by ZZ Top. Look at you. Stop picking it up. That's what I would do. 790-2040 is the phone number. Oh, no. Just put them on the line. They're upset that I mentioned that Carrie Lake didn't like John McCain. I didn't say it, people. Sorry. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Ted Maxwell's coming a little early today before Jump in Tucson. He's got former city manager Michael Ortega coming up in the top of the hour. Good morning.
Good morning, Chris. How are you doing today?
I'm not bad. How are you?
Good. Well, I'm hoping people will stay on and listen. I think it's going to be a great conversation with Mike Ortega. I do have a lot of respect for what he did and accomplished down in the city. He was one of the city managers that actually reached out to folks in business, not just the organizations, but into individual business leaders and owners in the community. He had a little group of us that would meet with him about monthly, and it was a pretty straight conversation most of the time.
What a rough job, and you know, trying to maintain what you're trying to do with a very difficult city council to do it with.
Well, he had a lot of experience. You know, he was a city manager out in Douglas. He actually was out with the ADOT for a while and has done a lot of transportation, engineer by trade.
Yeah.
So when it comes to things like the RTA and some of that, there's a lot of Mike Ortega's ideas in the RTA plan that I'll be presenting to the board this Thursday.
So you have an RTA meeting on Thursday, you're saying?
We do. We've got our last one did not have a quorum. Had a few people who unexpectedly were not able to make it that day, so we didn't have a quorum. But the plan I was going to propose at that time was already on the agenda, on the table. Everybody saw it, so they went ahead and released it. So I've been able to go around and do a little bit more talking. You always have to be careful of the open meeting law, so I've not talked to many of the municipalities about it because I don't want to take that chance, but I've been talking to a lot more groups. And it's really funny, I'm going to be meeting tomorrow with a Jesse Lugo, of all people. He heard me present to the city and said, I want to talk to you about some of this stuff.
Sure. As we know, he's got 22nd Street Bridge concerns and beyond.
Yeah, he wants to talk to me about Country Club Road.
Gotcha. Explain to the Wakeys what the plan here, because we know that we have this chasm between the responsible communities on the edges and this thing called the city of Tucson in the middle. So are you attempting to bridge with the Maxwell plan?
There's some bridging going on, but a big piece of it is something that Mike Ortega came up with when he was the city manager. The board voted unanimously, 9-0, including Mayor Romero and all the mayors, so 9-0, pretty much everybody, to go with a pessimistic economic forecast. So that would bring in, over the 20-year span of an RTA, about $2.4 billion. So that's the pessimistic. When George Hammond created the economic forecast for the 20 years of the RTA, he gave us a pessimistic view, a baseline, and an optimistic. The optimistic is only achieved 20% of the time. The pessimistic's below is about 20% of the time, and 60% of the time you're around that baseline.
Okay.
So because we built the plan on pessimistic, it was very difficult to get a lot of the items for both the city of Tucson and the outlying regions as well.
So real quick, the previous RTA, if you were going to describe the expectations.
It was built on the baseline.
It was based on the baseline.
We did worse than the baseline. Gotcha. We came in about $300 million short of the baseline. Now, you know, some people go, oh, well, we had the 2008 recession. We had COVID. You know, we had this, we had that. Well, you're always going to have something. The question is, how bad will it be? So I do believe the responsible thing is to make the basic plan based on the pessimistic. But what we've done is, you'll see there's what I'm calling a baseline surplus. It had been floated by the technical management committee, which at the time manager Ortega chaired, but it's all the city managers, a lot of the folks in the departments of transportation. What would you do with the money if we come in above projections?
Yep.
And the city of Tucson's willing to take the risk that, hey, we will go ahead potentially and go forward with this plan, knowing that if it comes in at the pessimistic, a lot of the stuff we'd like to get done is not going to be done. But if it comes in above baseline, since we're willing to take this risk to get up to roughly 50% of the dollars, and they got 52% of the population, if you look at it that way, they're willing to take that risk. And so by doing so, we got a little creative in what goes in there. And when I say creative is, we included what you'll see in the plan that's the biggest change, and this is why Jesse Lugo wants to talk to me, is we've included something called arterial rehabilitation. And that's where you get to the rub maybe with some of the other communities, because it effectively lets you, without redesigning, without adding anything to it, lets you go in and between curb and curb rehabilitate those roads. And we've got about $20 million in the below the pessimistic line, and then there's another $190 million above the pessimistic line. And what that would allow us to do would be to fix all the arterial roads that right now are not in good shape.
This is cute. Not from your point of view, from the city's point of view, right? That, of course, as you know, guys like me are going to say we're going to reward them for not doing their job of fixing their roads over the last 30 years. Right. At the same time, the municipality that's at their highest budget level ever says, if you don't give us our own sales tax bump, we're going to cut 100 cops. That was the first thing out of the mayor's pie hole. We're going to cut 100 cops. We don't have enough cops already. Well,
let's make sure.
But what I'm saying is why would I want to reward them knowing that they don't have to fix roads anymore because RTA will pull their fat out of the fire?
It's not rewarding them. Here's the fact of the matter.
Mm.
For a regional, if you're talking a regional approach, what are the roads that those of us who don't live in the city of Tucson most often drive when we're in the city of Tucson? Are we driving around the neighborhoods just looking at houses? No, we're on these arterial roads. And the arterial roads are not going to get fixed.
Isn't it their responsibility to make the roads nicer that people would want to come in and spend money from the outside places?
There's no doubt. Roads, if you want to look at the predominant responsibilities, and we agree on this totally, is infrastructure, parks and rec, public safety. Those are the primary responsibilities.
Okay.
But the purpose of PAG and regional and the RTA is to consider the regional transportation infrastructure of Pima County. And how do we fix that? Got the same problem, Chris. I'm going to be real honest. We got the same problem at the state. You know, I sit on the Arizona State Transportation Board. Governor Ducey appointed me, and that's why I'm on this regional transportation board as well. We've got the same issue. We've got needs that far out exceed the revenue we've got coming in designated for transportation. And that's either from the federal government or from VLT or from... We'll never, ever catch up on all the roads in the state of Arizona. Right now, we're touching every road, every state highway, every responsible road that ADOT's responsible for about once in every 20 years, which allows us to keep them in the same shape they are now, which is not good. So we could live with the same idea inside the city of Tucson and inside Pima County, because there are a lot of arterial roads in Pima County that also need
the magic of all of this, right, is that no one is putting that on the base of their budget, the roads, right?
Correct.
That's the problem, right? It's always an afterthought after all our other crap.
And the interesting thing that you hear right now on the folks that are saying this isn't regional enough, we'll go on our own. And when they talk about going on their own, the cities mean we're going to do our own half-cent sales tax. So what I'll tell you, if we don't have an RTA, what I believe you will see, at a minimum, you will see the city of Tucson go for another half cent for their roads. And the city or the town of Marana will go for another half cent for their key projects. And what we will lose is all semblance of regionality. I guarantee the roads that you and I drive on in the city of Tucson won't be what they're targeting with their half cent. They might fix some of them, and I think they would, because at some point you have to. But what we're trying to create is a plan that is regional in its nature. So now the half cent city tax throughout Pima County goes towards regional roads, regional infrastructure, regional transportation. And if we let all the municipalities go on their own here, the biggest loser will be unincorporated Pima County. Because as we've talked about before, there is no way you're going to ever get a 5-0 vote from unincorporated Pima County to fix the unincorporated Pima County roads.
Or what they should have done for years, which is incorporate and let annexations happen and take advantage of the state formula.
I agree. And what just happened in Vail?
Oh, I know. Trust me.
That's the challenge we've got.
I want to take a question before we go to break.
Absolutely.
Let's go to James on line 3. James, you're on with Ted and Chris. Good morning.
Yeah. Wanted to ask about Tangerine. I store a vehicle over this RV there, and it is out of control right now. And the owner of the RV shop.
When you say out of control, what does that mean, just specifically?
Basically ripping up all the Tangerine with no, according to the owner of the RV storage facility, there's no plan to do anything at the railroad crossing. So what's the purpose of widening Tangerine just so you can stack up at the railroad tracks? And then they're putting a new development there. KB is putting 500 homes down there.
James, that's a great question. And now that you're here, this is part of the problem with why we need to ensure that the regional transportation still exists inside the plan as it stands right now. Again, this is not approved by the board. We haven't gone in front of the community, the public. But right now, Tangerine Road, I-10, from Tangerine Road and the I-10 intersection, a grade-separated traffic interchange over the railroad located at that intersection. That is on the plan. Now, here's the interesting thing about it. The plan, the RTA plan, would take $57 million for that, but it has non-RTA funding that would be matched of $100 million. So we're basically getting 57% of the funding is going to come from the RTA for $157 million project, and it will include that overfly of the railroads solving that problem. The thing that I appreciate you pointing out is KB Homes is building a bunch. There's a ton of growth going on in Marana. So there's going to be needs for Marana, for roads inside of Marana too, but there's going to be a lot of needs for those arterial roads that lead from other communities and other locations into those towns. They need to be taken care of and fixed as well.
James, it is amazing on how I take that tangerine all the time. I live off a tangerine.
So do I.
And so it's the idea that it's amazing how only in the last 5 months that the stack up has gotten so crazy over there. It's all the time now. It wasn't like that literally last winter.
And
I don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah,
but.
James, you may know better too as well, but I don't know if it's because, you know, it's now tangerine's got the roads up there and you've got the Maverick. There's more activity there.
Right.
And so that's why we have to continue to ensure that these roads are invested on. And to, again, thanks for the question. And to your point, this that is one of the projects that is in the RTA next plan.
James, thanks for the call, man.
I got two words real quick. Twin Peaks. Why can't they use Twin Peaks?
It depends what direction you're going. Like Chris said, most of the time I'm on Tangerine, I'm going north. I'm heading to Phoenix.
Yeah.
The only time I cut down Twin Peaks is if I'm going out to the Marana Airport. So it depends. Gotcha. Depends where the buildup is.
James, thanks for the good call, man. Stay patient out there. It's the best I can tell you.
I'm still waiting for Sergio to pop up on the screen. Haven't seen it yet.
Absolutely. It's coming up. 790-2040. Cowboy Dave, I don't know if there's a Wittenbraker debate planned. I'm sure it's out there, but I'll look into it to see if, I don't know if Jen Allen would actually pop her head up on this one.
The fact of the matter is there's some debates that candidates don't want to take because they're not going to help. And I think you could look at almost all races and make a case for somebody not taking one, and that might be one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Adelita's going to be debating Val Romero anytime soon. So, but we'll see. You're on Wake Up Tucson. Ted's got Mike Ortega coming up next, former city manager. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right. ZZ Top versus Lynyrd Skynyrd today on the Battle of the Bands. You're on Wake Up Tucson. Christy Simone, Ted Maxwell's here a little early with us. So Sergio, give us a call. 790-2040 is the phone number.
He's got my direct line now. We just talk about it all off the air.
Hopefully he'll be working right now. So my thing is, I don't know if this ever came up in conversations, right? And I was telling you off air a little bit the part of this, the idea that now we're going to tax everyone in the region to help the city of Tucson pay for roads that they should have been taking care of for 50 years. It's in their damn charter that they hide behind all the time when they need it. They need to hide behind the charter for their stupid election system and other things, right? And this is also the city that screwed everyone over. That's a city of Tucson water payer outside the city of Tucson, and don't look like they want to pay that money back anytime soon. These guys, this is the ultimate culmination of the Chuck Huckleberry bad way of government, which is for 30 years, don't take care of the basics, paint the community into a corner, and then ask them to pay for things that we should have been doing in the first place. That's why, I know why you're doing it, but this is why it insults my intelligence.
I fully understand that, Chris, but this is the other thing to remember. The plans that they were against and opposed, they were getting about somewhere between 45 and 47% of the tax collected.
Right.
62%, I've heard them claim as high as 65% of the tax collected is inside the city of Tucson.
Right.
Percentage-wise on population, this is what I base a lot of my arguments with them and with the other municipalities about. And there's some municipalities that are getting a lot more money than its percentage of population. They've got 52% of the population inside of Pima County. So this plan that I will propose brings them up to about 50, and then if we get all the way to baseline, it gets them up to about 54%. Yet 62 to 65% of it's being collected inside the city of Tucson. The idea that you pitched before is, just cut them off, let them stand on their own, let the town fall apart, they won't have any tax, because the businesses will eventually have to relocate and get out of Dodge. Is the only way that the majority of the tax collected in Pima County will not occur in the city of Tucson. And I'm not sure how that would work. I'm not sure yet if the businesses are willing to do it. They haven't up to this point. I mean, let's not forget the car dealers collect 10% of the city sales tax inside of the city of Tucson. There's multiple studies that were done both during Chuck Huckleberry's time, and I believe also Jan Lusher may have done an update that show that of that 65%, almost 30+% of it's collected from people outside of the town. Bottom line is, if we don't come up with a regional plan, all of those of us who pay that sales tax inside the city of Tucson will have nothing to show from it because the city of Tucson will go on their own for a half.
I got a minute and a half. I got two quick questions for you.
Yeah.
Do you know off the top of your skull what was the collected HERF VLT by the city of Tucson in the last couple of years? What do you think, roughly?
I wouldn't be able to tell you off the top of my head at all.
Number two, has anyone in these discussions suggested a matching dollar program? So if you're a city like the city of Tucson who hates fixing roads, right? But now you want our money as a community, as a region to pay for you fixing roads. How about for every dollar RTA gives you, the city comes up with a dollar? Has that been brought up?
That's never been mentioned because the city's answer is going to be, rightfully so, we collected 62 cents out of every dollar you're giving us back. And oh, by the way, we collected 62 cents out of every dollar we're giving to every other community. So every project that's done here, the city of Tucson can claim, and I'm not telling you that I'm not justifying anything they've done in the past. I'm telling you, but they are correct in saying they are collecting 62 to 65 cents of every dollar that's spent in the city and outside of the city.
So we're back to the Sergio question from 2 years ago. Why do anyone outside on the edges need to pay for, we don't need to pay for connecting with the city of Tucson much more anymore?
They don't unless you want to go downtown, unless you want to go to work, unless you want to go to the U of A, unless you want to go there. You're on those roads. And once the RTA, once the regional approach is abandoned, there will be much less input.
Hey, the U of A had their largest freshman class. They don't care about the roads.
They did. Well, once they get down there, they've got the streetcar to take to downtown and back. They're okay. It is a very difficult situation. What I'm telling you is, region-wide, we will be in much worse shape. Much, if the
give this guy another
pass.
Hour to talk coming up after. That's what I would do. Have a good time on Jump in Tucson with Mike Ortega.
I'm looking forward to it. I appreciate Manager Ortega, and I think it'll be a great conversation. I guess I can't call him Manager Ortega anymore.